Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercies endure red forever. Amen. For his mercies endure red forever. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercies endure red forever. Amen. For his mercies endure red forever. Amen. I want you to worship God from the bottom of your spirit now. Can you just go ahead and worship God from the bottom of your spirit? Can you just go ahead and worship him now? You can worship him in tongues. You can worship him in songs. You can worship him in hymns. You can worship him in any way that you want. Can you just go ahead and worship God now? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. Hania Boshara. You are marvelous. So marvelous in your ways. Oh, you are wonderful. So wonderful in your ways. You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. Sing Yahweh, 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 you are glorious, so glorious in your ways. Elohim Adonai. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask tonight in the name of Jesus that you speak to us, even in your word. We ask that you reveal yourself to us in your word tonight, in the name of Jesus. We ask this evening that you speak to us even through me. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself to us. Thank you, everlasting Father, because we will not go back empty-handed. We thank you, everlasting Father, because we are blessed indeed. We thank you, everlasting Father, because you reveal to us the mysteries that has been hidden from ages and generations, and the summary is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We say, be thou exalted. We say, be thou glorified. We say, thank you, Father. We declare this evening that we don't want to know anything save Jesus crucified, Jesus resurrected, in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you to the third series. This is the last series on Agape. Hallelujah. Now, two Sundays ago, we started a discussion on this divine work. We started a discussion on this revelation word, Agape. You know, I was having a discussion, I think, earlier today with some of my brethren in church. And I told them that one of the problems that we have when we are reading the Bible is that we try to, you know, think that the translations that were given to the world, okay, were the best or were the meaning, so to say. And the truth is that there are many words in the Bible that the words themselves do not carry the understanding of the original language it was written or represented. Now, one of such words is agapa. Now, we have looked at the closest definition to agapa so far is charity. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at charity very well, you will realize that charity is just a dimension of agapa. The word charity is just a dimension of agapa. Just as the gifts that we receive from God is just a dimension of the things that God has prepared for us. Or let me put it this way. Just like the giving nature of God is just a dimension of Him. Because God is a multidimensional God. So if God is a multidimensional God and love is God and God is love, hallelujah, it means that agapa is also multidimensional. So to say that charity, okay, is agapa would be wrong. But charity is the closest understanding we have to agapa. Now, agape, let me say love now in English so that it can be easy for us to understand. So when I say agapa now, please, I believe that you understand that I mean love, as in the divine nature of God. So the word love encompasses all that God is. Hallelujah. The word love encompasses all that God is. Now, if you're going to understand all that God is and all that God did, I would say now, to understand it is to understand love. And so if God is saying, love one another, hallelujah, God is saying, walk like me. God is saying, live like me. God is saying, you know, be fruitful like me. Now we're going to look at two scriptures quickly before we go into the word, you know, in full today. John chapter 10 and verse 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Two important scriptures, very important scriptures. Now John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now this is a very popular scripture here and we'll keep saying it until he's able to enter into our spirits. Now, he said, but Jesus said, I am come. Somebody say, I am come. He said, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, before the Lord Jesus came, scarcity was the order of the day. Hallelujah. Before the Lord Jesus came into this picture, scarcity was the order of the day. But Jesus said, one of the reasons I came, or say the major reason I came, is so that you may have life, one, and then that you may have it abundantly. And so Jesus said, the scarcity once and for all for you. So for everyone that has life, they would no longer live in scarcity. Now listen to this. Now, if there is anyone that has received the life of God and they are unable, hallelujah, they are unable to live the abundant life, it is not because God is not able to make them live the abundant life. It is not because God has not prepared for them an abundant life. In fact, it goes to say that such a person is unable to experience abundance because they are unable to walk in love. Now, this is to tell you that charity can be so serious and can be so multidimensional. Now, you understand what we're saying very soon. Remember, last week we looked at charity from the dimension of love. I mean, we looked at agapa from the dimension of love, so to say. We looked at it from the dimension of giving. Giving in the form of love. I've told us that agapa majorly can be in two dimensions. And the first dimension is giving, as commanded by the scriptures, and then the second dimension is the dimension of faith. It's important that I mention now at this point that, you know, agapa is central to faith, and faith is central to love. Both of them are a dynamic duo that work hand in hand. Hallelujah. They work together, And so a man is able to live in love because he has faith. Hallelujah. A man is able to dwell in love because he has faith. Hallelujah. So this is important for us to understand now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. We're going somewhere. I'm just trying to lay the foundation this evening now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake." Somebody say, "For my sake." "Yet for your sakes he became poor, that through you," I mean that you, "through his poverty might be rich." Now, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake, somebody say, "For your sake," "For my sake." "Now, for my sake, Jesus became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich." Two important scriptures saying almost the same thing. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He became poor that through his poverty might be rich. So definitely the Lord Jesus didn't come so that we might remain in poverty. Didn't come so that we might remain in, you know, lack. Hallelujah. He came for two reasons: that we may have life and then that we may have abundance. So the abundant life is for you. Hallelujah. The abundant life is for you. Why is the abundant life very important to Agape? We're going to see now. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Remember, we're talking about the dimension of faith. Agape in the dimension of faith. Now, we've said this before, that all forms of giving, you know, we broke down Agape into charity, and we're saying we're looking at it from the area of charity, sharing, or giving. And I've said this before, that all forms of sharing and giving are based on three things. One, it is either in the dimension of love, that is, we're giving because we're commanded to give without expecting anything in return. Are we together now? And then there is the dimension of faith. We are giving not just because we are commanded to give, we are giving because we understand that it is the system of replenishment, which is what we have come to look at today. And then the third one is a combination of love and faith. All forms of sharing and the body of Christ are in these three dimensions. All forms of giving in the body of Christ is either giving as a result of love, or giving as a result of faith, or giving as a combination of both. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, why is the dimension of faith important? Or what is faith now? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, Bible says, "Now the just shall live by his faith." And this is God speaking here. He said, "The just shall live by his faith." He says, "If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Hallelujah. "If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So the just is intended, designed to live by his faith. The just is designed and intended to live by his faith. So if the just cannot live by his faith, it means that the just dies by lack of faith. Hallelujah. Now, remember Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Important now. Now, the Bible says that the just shall live by his faith. So he that has life will experience the life by his faith. And it goes to say that he will experience the abundance by his faith. Now, what this means is that if the just does not have faith, the just goes to dying and then it goes back to a life of scarcity. It can be so simple, it can be so direct, yet it can be so difficult. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if faith is so important, what then is faith? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Okay, we have taught faith so much in this school. And then we'll still continue to teach faith. Hallelujah. Now, Romans 10:17, Bible says, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing now by..." Hallelujah. You didn't catch that. I'm saying that the just shall live by his faith, and the faith cometh by the word of God. And so we know that the word of God includes not just his word, I mean, also includes his will, his statutes, his knowledge, his commandments, and his promises. All right. Now, if those are all of the things that are in the word of God, we must understand that there is the word of God for every area of the life of the just. Now, if the just should fail to live by the word of God in a particular area of his life, for example, that area of his life will die and go into scarcity rather than abundance. So, as the just, you might believe the word of God for finances and yet be living in unbelief in your relationships. Hallelujah. You might believe the word of God for sicknesses. God, believe the word of God for finances. Are we together now? So there is the word of God for different areas of your life, and you are to live by each area. Now, this is important for us to understand. It is so important. There's a reason I'm emphasizing on this. It is so important. Now, we know that faith can't happen without the word of God. Faith can't happen without the word of God. We're looking at the dimension of love in the form of faith. Hallelujah. Because the Bible has said that the just shall live by his faith, and God has said, you know, love one another. Now, every giving, praise the Lord, it is important that I will say this now at this point. We've been taught that we should give in the body of Christ, but we have not been taught how to receive. And so tonight we want to learn how to receive. This is the subject of the dimension of faith. How do we receive? If Jesus said that he came that we may have life, and we know that we have received the life of God because we believe on the name of the Son of God, how do we live the abundant life even as we dwell in love? Now, Matthew 6:33, this scripture is an introduction to the abundant life, and Jesus shared the secret of the kingdom in the most simplest way he could have. Matthew 6:33. Now he said this, very important, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says that the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God would make all things be added unto you. So when you have the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God, all things shall be added. All other things shall be added. Now, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, when the Pharisees asked him when the kingdom of God should come, he told them the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Hallelujah. He says the kingdom of God does not come by observation. You will not be able to say, lo there or lo here. But says, behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Emphasis on this. Behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then you shall have all other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and then his righteousness, and you shall have all other things. Very important. So, if the kingdom of God and his righteousness makes you receive all other things, then when Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly, it must have also meant that I have come to introduce the kingdom of God to you that you may live therein and have things in abundance. Hallelujah. I have come to introduce the kingdom of God to you that you may receive the kingdom of God, live therein, and live in abundance. Hallelujah. It's so important that we understand this. Now, the kingdom of God that you live in, the kingdom of God that is in you, yeah, let me put it that way. The kingdom of God that is in you, it likened it to something very crucial. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Can you please put that up in the group for us? Mark chapter 4, and verse 26. Very important scripture. Very important scripture. Matthew the 4 and verse 26. Thank you, Father. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The kingdom of God is like a man should cast seed into the ground. And he said, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the head brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the hair, after that the full corn in the hair. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Second example of the kingdom of God, he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? He said, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadows of it. Now, the Lord Jesus likened the kingdom of God. Mark 4:26, I want it, put up in the group, please. Now, Jesus likened the kingdom of God to planting. Yeah. He likened the kingdom of God to planting for a reason. Hallelujah. For a reason. Now, John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Pay attention here. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Or say, I am the true vine. My Father is the farmer. Now, it says essentially that God is the farmer, and he planted the Lord Jesus that he may bring forth as he may grow forth as the vine and brings out branches that are you and me. Hallelujah. Now, if God had to plant, and Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God is like, a man should cast seed into the ground. He was saying that when the kingdom of God comes, one thing is going to be crucial. Sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. One thing is going to be crucial. Sowing and reaping. Now in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, God laid down a system for the replenishment of the earth. Actually, that was not when God laid down the system. God laid down the system of the replenishment of the earth from the beginning of the earth. He said, let the heart bring forth fruit that carries its own seed. Let them bring forth grass. Everything must have their own seed that they may multiply. Hallelujah. Pay attention to this. Now, in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, God told Noah that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And it was time for God to effect a great change in the system of the world. When it was time for God to reconcile the world to himself, Because the world, he wanted to reconcile to himself. The man he wanted to reconcile to himself lived in the hurt. He had to go by his own system for replenishment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everything from the beginning was an arrangement to how Christ would redeem men to God. Everything. So God's system of replenishment was simple. The earth will bring forth fruit that will carry its seed. So if it was God's plan for that to happen, and in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he gave. And Jesus came and told us that God's giving was his time of sowing. Hallelujah. So God became a farmer that he may be able to harvest all of us, all the many Christians across the world today, and the ones that have slept in the Lord. Now, if God had to abide by this system, you have to understand this system. Hallelujah. Giving is God's system of replenishment. Now, before the Lord Jesus called it love, it used to appear in different dimensions. Okay? So there was tithing for the sake of, you know, preventing the destroyer from destroying your work, one, and for the sake of getting a blessing. And now, what does a blessing do? A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. And God said, when you pay the tithe, I'm going to give unto you a blessing. So essentially, the tithe was a form of seed. Hallelujah. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We'll get there. So the first form of giving, you are not expected to expect anything in return. That is the giving, the love we share with the brethren. Though we do not expect anything in return, it does not change it from being a seed. Listen to this. All forms of giving, whether you give with expectations or not, is a form of seed. Hallelujah. So you have to be careful when you are giving in order not to sow a bad seed. In fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says that he that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Freely. He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not along with that son freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Now, if God gave us all things along with the Lord Jesus, if God gave us all things along with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus said, I am come that you may have the abundant life. And the same Lord Jesus now told you that the way to have all other things is to seek the kingdom of God. Are we together now? Is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then it says all other things will be added. He now came out again and said, the kingdom of God is like a man should cast seed onto the ground. So it means that if you want to make the kingdom of God produce for you, you have to learn to cast seed into the ground. So, from the time of the Lord Jesus, God synchronized the system of sowing and reaping into giving. Hallelujah. So that all forms of giving is considered sowing. So I am telling you that you can release your tithes as a seed. I'm teaching you how to treat your tithes now. You can release your seed with faith, with expectations. In fact, you can give with expectations. I know that we've been taught to give and not to, you know, expect anything in return, but God didn't say so. That is just a dimension. The giving that we do because we love the brethren, even that is a seed. So write this down now. All forms of giving is a seed. So when you are giving, whether you are giving deliberately and expecting an harvest, or you're just giving because you're commanded to, you have to understand that you are qualified to receive in return. Because what you do, giving, is God's system of replenishment. I'll give you a practical example. I think this was 2 weeks ago. I wanted to fix my phone. I don't know, about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, just before the session, I broke my device. Got broken. And during that week, I didn't really have much on me. But I was not bothered. I didn't even pray. To tell you, I was not bothered at all. I just took the money I had with me. It was enough to pay off my 10 pending tithes. So I sold my tithes as a seed. I was just learning about seed faith at the time. So I sold my tithe. I didn't know before then that I could sow my tithe as a seed. So I sold my tithe as a seed. And God sees my heart. That's all I had on me. And just 3 days later, I was able to get times 4 of the amount I sold in tithe, which was enough for me to fix my phone. Just 3 days later. Now, notice this. I didn't pray. Maybe I should repeat it. Because you might think maybe because I prayed so much or I fasted so much. I didn't pray. Now, you may not always receive where you give to. I will get it out. You may not always reap where you sow. And you may not always reap immediately after you sow. Hallelujah. But you must understand that if you are not weary in sowing, you are going to be receiving harvest in due time. Hallelujah. So, giving. Understand this tonight. That giving is not just we should be doing good. It's not just about good works. It is you releasing your seed with faith and receiving in the future. So you can come out later when you have a need and say, I am a giver. It has been given to me. Now let's do the scriptures. Luke chapter 6. We want to look at 5 to 6 things that will happen to you when you give. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. 5 to 6 things you should expect when you give. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. If you're there ahead of me, you can just post it on the group or just go ahead and read. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Now, Jesus was speaking here. He said, Luke 6:38. Now he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. Give, and you shall receive. Sow, and you shall harvest. Is there a difference between the two statements? Give, and you shall receive. Sow, and you shall harvest. Now look at this. This is why you must understand that what the Lord Jesus called the process of giving and receiving that he mentioned, okay, is simply the process of sowing and reaping. So even though you are in the kingdom of God, you must understand that you are only going to reap what you sow. Now, not all of your seed are going to grow early. The same way, not all the plants have the same lifespan of growth. Not all of your seeds. We already understand that the time, it takes different times for different types of, plants or crops to grow. It takes different times and different seasons for different kinds of seeds to bring forth fruit. The same way it is. So there are some seeds that you sow now that you may not be able to harvest them until 3 years later. Something happened to us today at SPI, just today at SPI. So there was this young pastor that I knew before I became a pastor. I mean, before I even came near to the church. At the time, I was just a normal church goer. And so there's this young pastor at the time, and he happened to take one of my courses at the time. We got close, we became friends, and he considers himself a student of mine, but I would rather consider him a friend. Now, at a point in time, I brought him to our church then to come and minister to us, to the youth, and then we became closer, so to say. But then we lost contact for about 3 years now. For about 3 years now, we've been out of contact. And we're organizing the Word and Worship experience in Agowe. Now, Agowe is a place I am not familiar with, and there's a lot of complications in getting a venue and getting partnerships there. Coupled with the fact that it's far, I can just go back and forth. Now, this is the interesting part. So I have tried all my best. I have spoken to the biggest campus coordinators on the campus. It's still not working out. We are unable to get a venue yet. Hallelujah. Then I am reminded of this brother, this young pastor. I am reminded of him. And so I took my phone and called him instantly. And after about 9 minutes of back and forth, just having a discussion, catching up and explaining my problem to him, what ended the call was, consider it sorted, sir. And while I was going back home, I said to myself in my spirit that God is indeed faithful. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. Because I remember now my labor of love on that brother in those times. There are many things that I have done. Now, I'm just talking generally now. Then, even though I didn't believe in giving or sowing or reaping, and there are many harvests that I've received today that the seeds were sown 4, 5, 6 years ago. And the same thing in your life. No matter the kind of seeds you sow, will determine the kind of fruit you harvest. So I am telling you that not just your words are seed, because in the kingdom of God, it is not just the gifts of your hand that are seeds. The words that come out of your mouth are seeds. I would get it now. Your behavior are seeds. This is why Hallelujah. Sorry for the hiccup there. I just had a little issue with the reception. Now, as I'll say, now this is why Agape is not just concerned about your giving. It's beyond your giving. Because almost everything that you do is a seed. Don't forget, we're looking at God's system of replenishment. So almost everything you do is a seed. Look to verse 6 and verse 38 as we're reading. It says, give and it shall be given to you good measure, fasting, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with shall be measured to you again. Now, 5 things you must expect when you give. 5 things you must expect when you give. 1, you must expect that it shall be given to you. because it is God's system of replenishment. See, listen to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and every other thing shall be added to you. Every other thing shall be added. Now, the Bible does not say that you are going to have to drag everything. The Bible does not say you are going to have to steal for it. The Bible does not say you have to labor unnecessarily for it. The Bible does not say you have to rely on your strength, on your hard work for it. When you give, you must expect to receive. Now, one of the problems that we have and is hindering our giving as believers is that we do not expect God to provide for us. We do say that God will provide, but we don't expect him to provide. We do pray that God should provide, but we don't expect him to provide. We do hope that God would provide, but we don't expect him to provide. Hallelujah. Because if we expect him to provide, are we together now? It would not be difficult for us to give. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw a scenario between Elijah and the widow that was mentioned in the Bible. I can't really remember which of the widow. In the time of famine, God sent Elijah to the woman. Now, this is very interesting because God told Elijah that I have commanded the woman to feed you. And that woman didn't hear from God. But Elijah went there. Was Elijah or Elisha? Now, when he got there, he saw the woman in famine. She has a small amount of food that is not enough for herself and her child. And her expectation is that after eating that food, they were going to die. And when Elijah saw her, Elijah said, please, can you get me a bowl of water? As she was going to bring the bowl of water, he said, please, can you get me small bread when you're coming? And the woman explained a scenario to Elijah. Now you must understand this. Elijah was hungry. The woman is also hungry. Both of them are hungry. And whatever the woman had in her hands, in any case, was not even enough. So she was already in trouble. In any case, she was already in trouble. In any case, she was already going to die. In any case, she was not expecting from God. And now, many times we find ourselves in the situation of that woman. What we have is not even enough. So in any case that it is not enough, you must understand this, that it is seed that will not be enough. Bread would always be enough. So, hallelujah. So the woman was wise. She didn't hear that seed. For some reason, she trusted Elijah. She believed what Elijah said. Because Elijah said, go and do my own. For thus saith the Lord, the oil will not run dry, neither will the flour finish. And that is how both of them were sustained throughout. You must understand that God's system of replenishment lies in understanding sowing and reaping. So what I'm telling you is this: learn to treat your all of your giving as sowing, and one, expect to receive. This must be central to your process. Expect to receive. It is not a crime that men give unto you. You know, some people are too egoistical and believe so much in their hard work that they are not able to receive what God is sending their way. Expect to receive. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said, it shall be given to you. In fact, the word shall, okay, can also be translated must. So that means you can stand on your 2 feet and demand, when you find yourself at the point of need, that because I am a giver, it must be given to me. Hallelujah. Now, the second thing that would happen is that it shall not just be given to you. You will receive good mail. Now, listen to this. You will receive a good mail of what you have sown. You will receive a good measure of what you have given. A good measure of what you have given. So if your seeds are bad or they are sown out of strife, are we together now? You are going to receive a good measure for it. If you sow good seeds, you are going to receive good measure for it. The measure to which you have measured, you will receive back. Now, the third thing that will happen is that it will be pressed down. Hallelujah. So as I was saying, that you will receive good mail. Now, this is the most important part. The Bible says, running over. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So what will lead to the abundance you seek? You have your own sweat. What will lead to the abundance that you seek? You're not going to get it by your own efforts. It shall be given to you. This is a secret to the abundant life. Sharing in expectation that it shall be given to you. I have come that they may have life, and then they might have it abundantly. Whatever is not shared cannot multiply it. I repeat. Whatever is not shared cannot multiply. Now, in the system of the world, to multiply things is to order. But in the plan of God, in the kingdom of God, to multiply things is to share them. So you see, it is not just because we are commanded to. It is because it is a seed. It is because it is a seed. Now begin to treat every one of the seeds in your hand, every one of your givings, both the ones you give to God, the ones you give to men, as a seed with expectation that it shall be given to you. When you have this expectation, it becomes your reality. Because the Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. As long as you give. Are we together now? So we're going to pray tonight. And our prayer is very simple. We're going to be receiving, by faith, all our due harvest. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive all my due harvests in the name of Jesus. So I receive the 100-fold return on all I have given for the gospels and Jesus' sake. We're praying now.